Hello, and welcome to episode 135 of Wada Hockey, the podcast about all things Texas hockey and the culture and stories that surround it. Before we dive into this week's episode, make sure to follow us on all social media platforms. LinkedIn, start out with that one, even though that's how many people actually use LinkedIn.
Dude, our LinkedIn's pretty solid. Fink does a good job keeping up with it.
All right, follow us on LinkedIn first and foremost. After that, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, we got it all. And check out the latest and greatest in hockey stories from our talented writers that have joined the team at wadahockey.com. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah, shout out Jake, Allison. You guys are killing it over there.
Pumping out content, keeping the hockey world focused on the Stars. All content about the Stars, I think, is pretty good content because there's not a lot of it.
Right. There's like, not too much to go around right now.
Yeah. I feel like if you're in the Stars social media circle, Stars Twitter, if you will, you kind of see the same folks over and over again. Everybody kind of knows everybody. So another outlet, wadahockey.com.
Go check out those game previews, those game recaps. Allison's working on like player profiles right now, so she's just knocking all those out. I think her next one up is going to be about Robo, so go check it out, wadahockey.com. And you go check out old episodes there, too. It's got all of our old episodes. You can get a link to the store there. Tons of great stuff up there.
It's your one-stop shop for all things Wada Hockey.
Absolutely.
Jason, let's do a quick catch up. It's just you and me this week. Fink is on the grind for the All-Americans.
Working hard for him. He said he's putting together some content. They got a documentary coming out, kind of. I'm sure it's just kind of like recapping their off season, but they're trying to get the release out here soon for everybody to consume.
Keep an eye out for that. Do we know when it's going to be out?
I do not. I know that's what they were kind of talking about. Was when it was going to be released, so it might be out the same time as this episode. So
okay, yeah. Keep an eye out, have your alerts for the Allen Americans turned on.
Yeah, go ahead, go to their Facebook page, hit that little bell up at the top, like the bell of the ball. Turn on those notifications for all things Allen Americans.
Absolutely, make sure Fink's hard work is recognized because he has been grinding.
Absolutely.
Jason, how have you been doing since last week? How was your weekend?
Dude, I've been grinding myself, trying to land a gig. And I was expecting a contract Monday and did not hear back from him yet. So reached out Tuesday, didn't hear anything. So I called this morning and was like, hey, Bob, what's up, dude? And 10 minutes later, I left him a voicemail, and then 10 minutes later had a message in my inbox. He was like, dude, I got swamped over the weekend. I thought I was going to be able to work on that scope a little more, but he's like, we're kind of reorganizing things over here. So he said, be on the lookout for this Friday. So fingers crossed I get that contract in my inbox on Friday and the weekend will be a little better.
If not, Bob's going to be hearing from you.
That's right. You're going to hear from my people, dude.
My people will get in touch with your people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, how about you, man? How was the week?
It's been a busy week already. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Our schedules have been a bit sporadic lately between travel and adjusting to new schedules and all that jazz. But just another week, dude. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Got a golf tournament on Saturday morning, which
we're at.
We always play at Indian Creek. Okay. In Carrollton. This weekend is a 3-man scramble. So we're going to. Okay. And I managed to call early enough to get us a 9 a.m. time, which is not bad considering it starts at 8. So ideally it won't take 5 hours like the last one, but you never know. Hey. But I'm going to go get a, have you heard of the brand Blue Tees?
No.
They do like range finders and shit.
No, I have not.
Yeah, I guess they're relatively new, but they have this like speaker rangefinder combo thing. So they have an app that you connect your speaker to, and you know, it works like all the other
like a GPS apps. Kind of device, if you will.
Yeah, and so you, it has a magnet on the back, and you just put it up on the side, the little bar on the side.
Yeah,
and it displays all the distances and stuff on a LED screen on the speaker.
While
it's playing music, yeah. So I was like, okay, that looks like a handy purchase. So I'm gonna go pick one up tomorrow and have it ready for Saturday.
You gonna put it in your golf bag?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh man, I was trying to think of a good segue. Damn it.
It's all good.
Like, golf bag, how do I segue this into hockey bags?
I was trying to tee it up for you. I was trying to put it on a blue tee for you.
Damn.
But
that's a good one.
Hockey Jason, players.
Outside of that terrible segue, what you got for us?
Dude, guys, hockey players, if you are tired of that beat up hockey bag, is it falling apart at the rink? If so, it's time for an upgrade. Go check out conwayandbanks.com. They've got five different colors with like three different kinds of bags. I think they may even have four now. So go check them out. That Conway and Banks hockey bag, though, it's the toughest, most durable hockey bag on the market. It's made from high quality materials and perfectly constructed. And it's backed with, be sure you go check it out at conwayandbanks.com. Use code WHATAHOCKEY10 and get your gear to the rink in a style.
Very nice. Very nice. Man, I got so sidetracked because our next beautiful sponsor that we have to shout out, Third Line Draft, plays music on their website when you pull it up, and it really threw me off.
Oh, what kind of music we got?
Just some
background music.
Yeah, background music, kind of
easy listening.
not like elevator muzak, but just some kind of chill beats. But yeah, if you're looking to get out of town and play some hockey and have some beers with a great group of people, look no further than Third Line Hockey. It's your go-to for beer league drafts all over the world, not just the U.S., all over the world. You get custom jerseys for each tournament, and you are sure to look good, feel good, and play good. Their upcoming series is in Scotland, so we can say the world.
They all traveled. There are a lot of them traveling today.
Yep, the 29th through the 31st in Edinburgh, Scotland draft series. If that's a little too far for you, we got some other good ones. We got Altoona, Pennsylvania coming up. Los Alamos Outdoor Series. That's going to be dope. Super cool. And then a Austin, Texas New Year's draft series. All going to be lots of fun. If any of those sound appealing to you, head over to Third Line Draft, DRUAGHT.com, and get signed up today. And while you're there, you're going to need to look good outside of the rink. Check out Nice Mitts, perfect fit beyond the rink, a complete line of hockey athleisure apparel and ultralight pro level gloves, the Pro Series Mitts, designed for players who want pro level protection and the ability to feel the puck like never before, and you can throw them in the washing machine. Check
them
out.
That's the best part.
Yeah, that is a crucial design feature. Check them out at nicemitts.com and score 10% at checkout with WHATAHOCKEY10. Okay. Jason, let's dive into the Stars, and then we are 2 weeks removed from the start of the season, but I think there's still too many question marks, and we can do a semi-late Central Division prediction / commentary episode.
Deal. Dunzo.
So Stars, Flyers, on Saturday. Were you able to watch that game?
Yes, I was. And I will have to say that kind of hurt, to be completely honest, that game. It hurt to be up like that and then kind of almost blow it again in overtime. But you know what? Yeah. We didn't blow it in overtime. We end up getting the W. So good job, Stars, there. I'm trying to pull up my notes from it. My internet's crapping out on my iPad. Sorry.
I have some commentary. Some very pointed commentary. I was there at the game. Power play has got to figure it out, man.
Yeah, because that was the three shorties, right?
Three shorties, two on the same power play in the third period. That inexcusable is probably not even a strong enough word. Like, that is just god-awful. One is pretty bad. Two is horrible. Two in the same power play can never happen. Like, they looked disjointed. They were not crisp with passes or entrances or getting back on defense on the breakouts going the other way. All in all, it was horrible. But they did get 2 points, which is all that matters.
Yeah, especially like going into overtime. They didn't end up going into shootout, right?
They did not.
Pavelski it was Pavs. Yeah, Daddy Pavs took care of that one. That was great. But yeah, it was great to take care of it in overtime and not take it into shootouts. But it really, like you said, we've got to do something about special teams. I know it kind of improved a little bit. Like we were even talking about earlier in the season, like even in the first three games, it kind of improved a little bit. But then for whatever reason, Saturday, we just shit the bed with it. And it hurt to watch. Like that, between what was happening with the Rangers at the time and that particular game, like Rangers hadn't quite clinched it yet. I mean, or I guess we were maybe winning, but we had already blown like three in a row and were ready to just,
I think at the risk of getting sidetracked, I think after game five, a lot of us Rangers fans were very much resigned to our fate of going DFW into Houston Sports and disappointing us all. And that didn't happen because of the greatest baseball player of all time, Adolis Garcia, in the postseason, at least for this season. He's the greatest
postseason
2023 player of all time. But all that aside, 2 points for Pavs, 3 points for Wyatt. Jamie gets his first assist. Sagan gets his first goal. Miro's getting points left and right already. He's over a point a game to start the season, which is right in line with what Fink said a couple episodes ago. He said Miro would go over 73 points, and he is on pace for that currently. So 5-4 overtime win. We are 2-for-3 in overtime, which is nice. Would prefer to not get there.
Yeah, I would just like to I would just like to end it in 60 minutes. Like, it doesn't have to go past 60 minutes anymore.
Yeah. That would be ideal, but I'll take the two wins as we have them so far. Because last year it probably would have been, it could have been three losses, and I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'd be looking at like a 1-4 record right now, and
yeah,
that's very Dallas Stars of them.
Oh, absolutely, but they have turned some things around in overtime. The two shootouts had some really good chances, just couldn't finish. But that is better than last year where we got one chance and then blew it after that. So if we can get multiple chances and survive multiple counters, I think that's pretty marked improvement.
Absolutely.
And then last night, a pretty convincing win over the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby. That's a 4-1 victory.
Absolutely.
That was a solid game.
Yeah, the Stars waddle out of Pittsburgh, pretty handily there. I will shout out to Jake for that pun on his article there. But no, it was great to see. It was great to see Thomas Harley and Wyatt Johnson just really step up to the plate and show this Stars team what they're really all about.
I don't know about you, but I was very concerned that Wyatt's goal was going to get overturned. I was watching on mute, to be fair. Uh-huh.
I was kind of watching on my phone. I didn't have any audio up.
Yeah, I just thought that they could have made the argument that he kind of forced it out of the goalie's glove.
Glove, yeah. I'm
drawing a blank on his name.
The goalie?
Nedeljkovic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, and
I think it's saves what to.
I don't know what the hell he was doing on Thomas Harley's goal. He was so far out.
And yeah, he's just trying to take the angle and just Thomas had a chance, man.
Yep. He's not going to get an easier goal than that. Mm-mm. Not this year, at least. All he's got to do is hit it straight, shoot it straight down the middle, which he did.
Absolutely. That was a solid performance, too, from Ottinger. Only gave up one in the first there and then went off and saved like 35 after that.
Yeah, that, and even the one that he got beat on, there wasn't really much he could do.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been an incredible save if he had been
that
able
one
to make it.
From, who was that? Rust got that one?
Yep.
Brian Rust yeah, got the first goal. Him. Absolutely.
Assisted by Jake Guentzel and who else but Sidney Crosby?
Sid the Kid.
They popped up the stat, which I feel like I knew, but seeing it written out was kind of crazy. But Crosby has averaged a point per game for 18 years. Like, that's
pretty
insane.
Impressive. That's very impressive, actually.
Yeah. So he's going to, I mean, barring, like, by the time he retires, just incapable of scoring, which I don't see happening, he's going to be a career point per game player.
Oh, yeah. They have ESPN has a note up right now. Sidney Crosby, who assisted on Russ's first goal of the game, is now one assist away from entering into the top 15 in the NHL in career assist. And Crosby leads all active players with 955 career assists. With one more assist, Crosby will tie former Penguin Mark Richey. Crosby, who is 45 assists from becoming the 14th player in the NHL to reach 1,000 career assists. So, yeah. So then Stars That's take on Toronto tomorrow when we drop this episode, I think. But yeah.
I like where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. If we can keep up the same effort that we put out last night, then I think we're going to be in great shape, except for whatever in the hell Colorado is doing.
I think that's a great segue into our division predictions / where we're at currently.
Yeah, because we didn't have anything else, right, for the game?
No.
Did you have any other points?
Yep, all I was going to say is exactly what you said. Otter saw the puck really well. And, yeah, another fantastic game. Boom. But, yeah, let's dive into the Central Division. As it currently stands, we are in second with a game in hand. 9 points, 4-0-1 behind the Avalanche, who are 6-0-0.
Look at that. Goal scoring though from Colorado. They are currently leading all teams, looks like. No. Detroit. Oh, Detroit. Look at them with 34 goals already on 7 games. But yeah, Colorado and Vegas are tied with 28 goals this season so far. Vegas also with a game over Colorado. So that goal differential looks pretty solid too.
And it's not surprisingly. The Avs have played all playoff teams from last year, except for the Sharks, of course.
Yeah.
Sharks were their lowest goal total.
Yeah. They started the season with, they were in Los Angeles against the Kings, then played, went up to San Jose, then also went up to Seattle, then came home for Chicago, Carolina, and went away to the East Coast for a game with the Islanders last night, and then they got the Penguins tomorrow night. So
yeah, averaging over 6 goals a game.
Which, yeah, they put up 7 last night, 6 against Carolina, 4 against Chicago, 4 against Seattle, 2 against a measly 2 against the Sharks, man.
Averaging over 4 a game, 4.5 a game. But even that's still impressive to start the season. And my buddy, actually, he lives in Colorado, and he texted me, and he was like, I think Colorado's going to be a problem, because he was at one of their games over the weekend. And he was like, dude, they look so fast, which they've always kind of looked that way. But if he's texting me to
keep an eye,
really point it out, it's going to be something to watch.
I mean, when you've already got a defenseman with 9 points and 3 of them are goals, you know, that's going to be a problem.
Is that Makar, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it is. It is Makar. Yeah. McKinnon's got 4 goals already. Miko's got 5 goals and 12 points. He's got 7 fucking assists, man. It's not even fair. This team is not fair. You know what, though? They've got, who else do they have over there? Who is the player I was looking for? Cogliano. Cogliano's going to be solid, too. Yeah.
Man, I hope he's doing okay. That hit he took in the playoffs was pretty nasty. Really fucked up his neck.
I mean, he seems to be doing fine. He's got 3 assists already in 5 games, so.
There you go.
And Valerie seems to be on a bit of a streak over there, too. 6 points already.
The Stars failed experiment. RIP to Stars Val Nichushkin.
We'll get one on them.
I like our chances. Okay, so we are 3 points back of the Avalanche. We are 2 points ahead with a game in hand of the Wild, who are 3-2-1. Next up are the Jets, who are 3-3-0, as are the Coyotes, who come into town in a few weeks. Preds are 3-4. Blues are 2-2-1. And Bedard has not been able to save the Blackhawks organization just yet. They are 2-5 to start the season.
I like their future, but it's just not going to happen quite yet.
No. Man, so I know I had texted you guys that I'm gonna hate Bedard sooner than later because of the media. And as I've thought about it, I just feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were grabbing a drink before the game on Sunday at one of the bars in the AAC. And on the little scroll bar was the headline, when asked about his lack of scoring, Bedard had so-and-so to say. And I was like, dude, he's played in 5 games.
Yeah, 5 professional games. Get the hell out of here.
And he already had one, and he hadn't scored in, like, 3 games. Like, dude, give him a chance.
Like, yeah, this could be a kid, too.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's pro and all, but damn.
And probably the most egregious that I saw was, I think it was their first game against TNT, whichever game he scored his first goal in, but they had a graphic up that said Chasing Greatness and had his 1 goal and then Gretzky's 899. Yeah. I was like, bro, this is insane. Like, yes, could he get there? It's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
The way he scored in the junior leagues, the way he played for Team Canada, like, it's very possible he could be the next great one. But we're not going to know that in 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, give him a chance to get used to the NHL. Give him a chance to make some mistakes and not have the weight of the entire Blackhawks organization on his shoulders. Like, look at the Oilers. They have the greatest player in the league, and what do they have to show for it? Like, it takes more than one guy just to win. He could score, but
you got to have that team around you to build.
Yeah. He can't be on the ice 30 minutes a game.
Well,
I suppose he could, but it'd probably be ill-advised.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, so they're clearly just in like full rebuild mode right now, and they're just looking to kind of develop those younger players for the future. But
which they should be. I just think the, in my opinion, the media should, for his sake, not because I think it's annoying, which I think a lot of people already do, but take the pressure off of him a little bit. Like, I get it. You want to market your stars. He's already a star just based on his, like I said, his professional career so far. But, dude, let's not burn him out 3 weeks into the season.
Right. That's into his probably 20-year career, you know.
Yeah.
The guy got to come in at a very young age where he could play well into his high 30s.
Yeah.
Pavs, you know, and still sustain a level of greatness there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's pump the brakes there. Pump them.
Yep.
Tell me, I was going to say, tell me what you think about the Arizona Coyotes here.
I think they're going to be sneaky good.
Okay.
I don't think they make the playoffs, but I do think they will be on the outskirts and the outside of the lottery.
Okay.
In the draft. Let's put it that way.
All right. I don't have any information to back this particular statement up. I will need to research it a little bit more, but I'm going to ask this question to you, and you can possibly correct me right now if I'm out of line with it.
Okay.
Is this the last season that Arizona's playing? The Coyotes are playing in Arizona, or there are already plans for it? I don't know. We can cut this out so we can save face a little bit.
No, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know the answer, but if I had to bet, I would say they will be there at least another year. There was some smoke around, what is it, Ottawa City? Did I say that right?
No, Quebec City.
Quebec City, yep. Oh God, don't butcher me for any more Canadian listeners.
No, you're good.
There's some smoke around there, some smoke around Atlanta wants a team back.
What about H-Town?
I don't think Houston's going to happen. I really don't. It's a huge market, and the other teams that are currently in Houston are not great. The Rockets are whatever. The Texans are trash. I think the Houston Dynamo, it's soccer. There's not enough to really make a difference, I don't think. Like, you're not going to not go somewhere because they have soccer. And then the Astros, of course, are the main draw, but the overlap between baseball and hockey is minimal.
Ooh, really quick. Yeah. So on May 16th, 23, a proposal to by the Coyotes to get a new arena built in Tempe was rejected by the city. So Arizona has a home wrapped up through the end of the season, but the Coyotes have spoken to the city of Mesa about a potential arena at the Fiesta Mall site.
Okay. So, take Mesa with that information. Is in the Phoenix.
Yeah, suburb area there.
Let's see. That is. Okay. Mesa's on the east side of Phoenix. Actually, that would probably work out fantastic. It's closer to Phoenix, to Tempe and Scottsdale than it is. Glendale's on the northwest side, which from what I understand from my coworkers, driving from the northwest side through Phoenix is kind of a nightmare. So if you live, plus there's some bigger suburbs in Chandler and Gilbert that I think they could have enough draw if they can get Mesa to
sign off on it, yeah.
That may be a pretty good spot for him.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes, they will be in Arizona next year.
Sold. How do you think they will fare this season? I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit. They're still kind of young, probably still a few years away from being super competitive. You said they might be some ankle biters, but they're out of the playoffs. That's right.
Yeah, I think probably fifth in our division is about the highest I would put them up there. That's where they're currently at.
Mm-hmm.
Wild, I think, are going to vacillate between 3 and 4 with the Jets. And I have to imagine we'll flip-flop with the Avalanche several times.
Oh, yeah. Throughout the period of this season, definitely. I don't suspect that, I mean, knock on wood here, I don't suspect we drop lower than third ever.
I agree.
Even in our wildest of slumps, I don't think we'll ever drop below third here. However, I don't think St. Louis is going to be hanging down in seventh in the Central very long.
Where do you have St. Louis finishing?
Give me fourth.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's going to be the Avs, Stars, Wild, Blues. Jets may not even touch the top four.
That, I would not picture the Blues being up there. They were not great last year. Where'd they finish last year? They finished sixth last year. So that'd be an improvement. Do you think they make playoffs as a wild card?
No, I don't think that they will.
So you see the two wild cards coming both out of the Pacific.
Correctamundo, and we're talking like a Seattle, and I mean we might see the Ducks try to creep up there a little bit, but I think that's who we're going to be fighting. Or not we. I think that's who the Blues will be kind of fighting with there for that last spot.
Yep, Kraken, Ducks, Flames. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm not totally convinced that Seattle will even be a wild card team. It might even be like a Kings, Flames, Ducks situation.
Okay, after that year last year and the experience that they got, I could see if they have the chance to snag the third conference spot in the Pacific, that their veterans can turn it on. Mm-hmm. Plus,
they're going to have to find some scoring though from somewhere. And oh my gosh, I've drawn a blank on the goalie there, but he's going to have to figure it out.
Grubauer?
Is that who it is, Grubauer?
I believe Philip so, Grubauer. Yeah.
Let me pull up. Yeah. Might be right there.
Yes. Maybe? Wow, the goalie erasure from Google. I just searched players, Seattle Kraken, and clicked on the little tab. They don't have any of their goaltenders.
Yeah, Decord and Grubauer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't show who's like starting.
1A, 1B, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to recap, because I think in the interest of keeping this one short, give us your 1 through 8 finish.
Ooh, 1 through 8 finish. Okay. Got it. I will go Stars, Avs, Wild, Blues, Jets, Preds, Yotes, Blackhawks.
Stars, Avs, Wild, Jets.
Nope. Blues, Jets.
Blues, Jets.
Preds, Yotes.
Yotes, Blackhawks.
Yes.
Okay. I am going to go, and we probably should write these down somewhere and we can.
I'll write it down. Here we go.
Got it. I am going to say Avs 1, Stars, Jets, Wild, Blues, Coyotes, Predators, Blackhawks.
All right, one more time. Avs, Stars.
Avs, Stars.
Uh-huh.
Jets.
Uh-huh.
Wild.
Uh-huh.
Preds.
Uh-huh.
Coyotes. Blues. Blackhawks. Wait, what did I just say?
Yeah.
No, I think I flipped. Yeah, no, that's right.
So we'll Avs, Stars, Jets, Wild, Preds, Yotes, Blues, Blackhawks.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. We needed to write down our predictions from last season and do a retrospective to see where we ended up. I think we got pretty close on some of them, but I don't know exactly what our hit rate was. Mm-hmm. And this year we haven't done too many prediction episodes, but we did do this one.
So we this is the one that really counts, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now we're really talking about it.
All right. And we're only a couple weeks late.
Yeah.
Emphasized last week, you just don't know this early. Unless you're terrible and it's very obvious that you're terrible. Like, the Sharks are very obviously terrible. They are 0-5-1, just for reference. And they have scored 8 goals total in 6 games. I'm sure the Stars can manage to whip up a loss against them this year. But I think that's all we have for this week, man. Anything that we haven't talked about from the past week that you have thoughts on? Or anything you just want to wax poetic about?
Let me see here. Let me pull up the current standings again.
For East or West?
For the East.
Okay.
I wanted to follow up something. Tricky. What the hell?
Man, the Red Wings are off to a fantastic start.
They really are. 7 games in, they've already got 11 points. They're 3-0-1. Or no. What is it? 5-1-1.
With 34 goals.
Jesus Christ. No, you know what? I'll save it for next week when we get Fink and Shannon back in, because I want to hear them talk about it.
Let's do it.
So, yeah. Let's go
add
ahead.
Add it to the run sheet.
Yep. And we'll get their division predictions as well. So
agreed. Absolutely.
We will.
Alrighty, man. Anything else?
Nah, man.
It's
I'm
mid-week,
good.
But it feels so late in the week. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way. It's just been such a long week.
Like, it's only Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, no, tomorrow's Thursday. And
that is true. And then tomorrow being Thursday, it's almost Friday.
But, like, Thursday just still seems like it's very far away.
It really does.
To Friday. Like, I know it's only technically 2 hours, 15 minutes away right now. But it's going to drag ass. Mavs are playing right now, too. Got to check in on them. They're playing Wimby Mania right now.
Down by 2 going into half almost. All right.
Hell yeah, brother.
Things are on the upswing for Dallas sports Cowboys TBD.
No, they got this, man. They got this.
They'll bipolar, but they got time. Got time to turn it around.
They'll figure it out.
In the meantime, let's send all of our energy to the Rangers.
And do we want to talk Rangers really quick? Can we? Should we?
We can. I don't see why not.
I don't see why not. Dude, let's fucking go, man.
Let's fucking go.
Absolutely.
That game
I'm so
on
pumped
Sunday.
For the Diamondbacks, man, if I'm being completely honest. I am excited for the Bannister homecoming, if you will.
Is he their head coach? Like, he's their manager?
No, I think he's a pitch coach? Hitting coach, maybe?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for Alex Bannister to make her return back to Dallas, too. sorry. But no, this is going to be a very fun series.
From what I've seen of them, they are a very fun team.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some solid
pitching too.
Yeah, I was concerned about the Phillies starting pitching being just god level, but not to say that the Diamondbacks are not good, but that Zach Wheeler and who else is their starters? Ranger Suarez. Those two plus the third were just like dealing all postseason and into the NLCS. I'm glad we don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. I'm really pumped to see how Adolis really handles this pitching, though.
I don't know how he managed it. Although the salt from Astros fans about him, and he's on steroids and all that jazz.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I love it.
Yeah. My favorite thing, my least favorite thing right now was that single that he had yesterday, or not yesterday, the day before, whenever he kind of watched that go, and it should have been a home run in literally other part of the field, but no, he had to hit it right up there where it was like 40 feet tall, and you're not going to get over that wall, buddy.
Yeah.
Jacking a little higher than that.
Turned a sure double into a standing single.
Jeez. Well, he did make up for it though by stealing.
Yeah.
So, and then got that extra base back. So I was completely bothered until he stole, I guess. I was like, all right, man, you got it. And then the steal right after that, like back to back steals on that. I think we got the home, or not the home run, but we got another base. Got another base hit, then stole again. So it was just wild, man.
Yeah. Wild. That was, I had a feeling. When Seager homered in the first, and then three stolen bases, and then two. But after they got that first run back, and then it was 3-1, two on, one out, Scherzer gets the double play. The next inning, get one back. I could not help but think, man, this is where it happens. This is where the wheels fall off.
Uh-huh. That was my next question. I was like, at what point did you fully just believe?
I think probably the fifth inning when Monty was dealing, because he pitched really well in relief.
Very.
Once he kind of shut the door on a couple of big moments, I was like, okay, just get a couple more and we got this.
Yeah.
I think we needed at least four runs insurance before I started to feel comfortable. But with that big inning, you could just see the body language just switched from maybe there's a chance to
this is defeat. In hand.
Yeah. Okay. And you saw it at the end of game six too, like the at-bats that the Astros had once it was out of hand were like just such a give up. Like they didn't even put effort into it.
I don't even felt like, I mean, aside from the Altuve homer at the end there, like I don't feel like he really, I mean, I can't even say he didn't recover from it because he hit the fucking homer in the ninth, but like he was just out of gas. Like to deflate that man, you know, and that ego that he had, like in between like the fourth and the eighth, I mean, he was just done.
Yeah,
like he left it all. I felt like he left it all out there prior to it, but then like I said, he turns around and hits a fucking homer in the ninth and kind of throws that theory out the window, so to speak. But no, game one, we've got Zach Gallen versus Eovaldi, who is 4-0 in the postseason right now.
Dude is clutch.
Uh-huh.
Dude is so clutch.
So yeah, man. Go Rangers right now. Go Rangers.
Let's go Rangers.
We've got four more wins. We can get this. And
win.
I don't want
post-game beers.
I don't want to sound cliche when I say this, but I genuinely feel like this year is different for them. And
which is,
I know,
it's so wild to say that because there's no expectations outside of like maybe make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Get the young guys up and just maybe make the playoffs as a wild card and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is so ahead of schedule. It's insane.
Yeah. I will say Arizona has us in the regular season, the 3-1, but I'm not super worried about that. And especially if we were to talk about the first 40 games of the season, I kind of felt like this Rangers team was a little different.
Yeah.
But I definitely thought they were going to be a playoff team, but that was kind of the expectation. I was like, okay, we'll get to the playoffs and we'll play. Next season could definitely be our year, because then we had DeGrom was injured, basically didn't play the entire season. you know, Scherzer, I mean, he was kind of out most of it. So just to have, or I guess it wasn't even like, I mean, we didn't even get him until like midseason, I guess there. But just to see like, hey, we were able to get these punches in the face and still overcome them and to get to where we are. And like I don't want to keep speaking it, but it really does feel like something a little more special this year.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I was going to get tickets if possible, but they are ungodly expensive, so I'm out on that.
Check Game Time app, man, whenever we get there. I'm with you, though. I might try to get up there Friday and like 5 o'clock and see where we are. Just I'll go tailgate, sure, watch a game on my phone. If I can find something to get me in the building relatively cheap, fuck it, YOLO. But
relatively cheap right now, the cheapest I'm seeing, I use TickPick,
$350 maybe,
$475.
Fuck,
that's for standing room.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Standing room over at Cowboy Stadium with the roof open where they can show up.
Yeah, dude. It's insane. But, you know, maybe get lucky and let's see. 2 tickets on Game Time. That is not standing room only. Nope. Not seeing anything that is remotely quote unquote affordable. $358. Oh, but that's with $280 in fees.
Jesus Christ, dude.
So it's 2 standing room only tickets that are the cheapest on Game Time. $1,100.
Ooh, man, I was very tempted to go down to Game 7 the other day.
Oh, you know,
because
Houston? Yeah.
Yeah. I have some friends down there, and I had a meeting yesterday that I had to get to. If I didn't have that meeting, I probably would have been down in Houston Monday.
That would have been, I mean, the Rangers fans took over that stadium. The Let's Go Rangers chants in the 8th was fantastic.
That picture of the astronauts deflated and just like super sad was hilarious. Ooh, is this with the fees? Oh, it's standing room.
Yeah.
Shit. $493, and they sold 36 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's
$652 is the cheapest I'm seeing for not, at least this is on StubHub.
Yeah, for an actual seat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like row 37, section 400.
Include estimated fees. I got to change that. I'm sorry. They're $831 a piece.
God.
It's section 302, row 6. But
that is wild. Well, man, I think I don't have much else to say. I'm stoked. Haven't been here in a long time. Let's go, Rangers. You want to wrap us up?
Yeah, absolutely. Make good choices. And stay moist.
Stay sassy. And no matter what, even if your team is in the World Series, forget your permit.